I know you got to leave pretty soon. Did you want to say a quick word, Bill? I know you're limited.
I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah, here, check this out. When we give money, everybody's always talking about money, right? They think, oh, this is so good. And it really, let me tell you, folks, it's not money that you want. It's not money that you want. It's your kids living for Jesus that you want.
Yes, God, yes.
It's your generation knowing God that you want. Yeah. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. And every little thing counts. Mm-hmm. Man, yes, God provides financially. I've given all my life. When I don't have and when I do have, I give. I try to give more. But I'm not looking for the money bread to come back. I'm looking for the life bread to come back. I'm looking for the glory bread to come back. I'm looking for the righteousness of God to come back. He said, you'll be enriched in every good thing. In everything. And that's what I want. I mean, man, my wife and I have talked about this so many times. We have so many friends. So many friends. In the area of sickness, in the area of rebellious children. Friends of ours that have raised their kids in the godly home, walk with their kids, and then see them walk off and live in sin. And it breaks their heart. I tell you what, they would give everything that they have. Every cent that they have. Everything that they own. If their children were walking in righteousness. That's. Because when you give that stuff that you're holding onto, it opens up your heart. It opens up the door for the Lord to do stuff, other things in your life. Yeah. It keeps the doors open for other areas of repentance that are necessary. It keeps the door open for other things. Because when you close that door, that's the door that you're touching every day.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, it's very, very, very important. But then my wife and I have talked about this for years. Because, you know, we were financially, like, destroyed. Like 14, 15 years ago, by someone in the church. Okay? And I'm still paying back stuff to this day. Okay? Yeah. But we would talk many, many times. So and so has got cancer. My wife would pray. She said, Lord, we know you're going to get us through this, but we're so thankful that nobody's sick. Could you imagine losing a child? Could you imagine walking in with disease and sickness, and it's like, man, we want to keep the doors open to the Lord. We don't want to become bitter, right? Yeah. Yeah. So I would just, man, get your mind off of if you got a problem, giving financially, you got a problem. Okay? That's just the way it is. In all of our lives, it's a test. It's all a test. Because all that stuff, the Bible calls it filthy lucre. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a thing. It's not even. It's amoral. It doesn't mean anything, but it tests your heart. Yes. Just like relationships with people. Yeah. When they do things, Jesus said it this way. If they curse you, what do?
Bless them.
You bless them.
Yeah.
If they despitefully use you, what do? You pray for them. So everything's a test. You know, and I came over here this morning because I wanted to pray for Mike and Anna. And I wanted to tell Dallas that the Lord's going to take him by the lapels and he's going to lift them up and he's going to make them stand so that you're steady in your emotions. Because the word of the Lord wants to come steadily through your life. That's what he wants. He wants his kingdom to be steady in your life. Right? And heavens, Joshua, the heavens are going to be open to you. The heavens. And he's going to have you, you're going to hear things, you're going to see things, you're going to know things that are going to scare the hell out of you. So you're going to, what am I going to do with that? I can't say that. Some of that stuff you're not supposed to say.
That's right.
But some of it you are. It's all part of the process. Some things you got to keep your mouth shut about. And this is very important. Do not cast your pearls before swine. Everybody doesn't need to hear what the Lord speaks to you. You need to be speaking it to Him first. You need to be speaking it to people that have proven themselves in your life as spiritual people so that they can help you and guide you in what God's going to be doing. Understand what I'm saying? Because it's coming. I see it coming. John, God saved your life, brother.
Oh, yeah. Saved your life. Oh, yeah.
You're here today because God wants you here.
Yes.
And He's got a work for you to do. He's called you to do a work. He created you for good works, and He created the good works for you to do. Just ask Him. Just keep asking Him. What am I supposed to be doing? Where's my hand supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be helping? Because God wants you to help. He wants you to disciple people. Disciple people. We all are called the disciple. You know we're all called the disciple people.
Yes.
Every one of us. The reason we have weaknesses in our life that shouldn't be there, because we're not giving ourselves to other people. That's all of us. We need to give ourselves more. But I want to emphasize it to you. Your time is not up. Your time is not up. God saved your life. And He's bringing you to a place so that you know that you have an important role, a work to do in the kingdom of God. Just for you. Nobody else can do it. Just for you. So believe it. Pray into it. Ask the Lord. And He'll open your eyes. Amen? Amen. So listen. I'm gonna say that the Lord's here. I don't know about you, but I felt Jesus today.
Yes. Amen.
And I know Jesus is with us.
Right.
You know, but you know, when we gather, two or more gather in His name, there's a special anointing, there's a special coming, there's another layer. Somehow God reveals Himself more. We know that God is everywhere. But man, when we get together and we're having the right attitude and the right heart, we're focused on the right person. Man, He comes in more ways.
That's right. Right? That's right.
He comes in more ways. And it's okay. God wants to come to you in your prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to. But He likes it when you get together with other people.
Yeah.
And you like when you get together with other people. Don't you?
Yeah.
I like, you sit around this table right here, and there's something that says, man, this is good. This is good. That's that same thing, man. God wants you to get other people and just come alongside and help them. Who wants to be led by the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
You know what the Holy Spirit's doing? He's coming alongside people to help them. He's comforting them. He's encouraging them. He's exhorting them. He's strengthening them. That's why it said, I would that you all prophesy. Because that's what prophecy is. To encourage, to comfort, to exhort. Man, Mike and I, when we get together, it's just prophecy all the time.
Yep.
It's not prophecy like, thus saith the Lord, you're going to... No, it's praying, and it's encouraging, and it's provoking one another to love and good works. It's, you know, I hit him and said, man, you got to listen to your wife more. You know, and he says a little bit lighter because my wife's right there. I'm putting them on the spot.
There you go.
No, really, really. God sets us in families. Because we need to be in families. That's right. We need to be in families. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for each person that's here. And the Lord's going to help you. And I'm telling you, Melissa, I spoke this to you years ago. I'm telling you, the word of the Lord is He's going to save your children.
Right.
He's going to save them.
That's right.
He's going to save them. You got to stand on that word. You got to believe that word. You got to fight with that word.
That's right.
And don't not tell them. You keep telling them the truth. You treat them like the heathens they are.
That's right.
You preach the gospel to them.
That's
just
right.
Like you do with people on the street.
Right.
You preach the gospel to them. And then when they roll their eyes, you preach the gospel to them again. And you love them.
Right.
Just like you do people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You show respect to them. You honor them. You love them. But you tell them the truth.
That's the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because hell's a real place.
Yes, it is.
And we want heaven on earth.
That's right.
And God's going to do it. You got to stand for it. You got to believe for it. You got to fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got to do.
Amen.
That's what you got to do, man.
Yeah.
Amen.
God set you as a light, brother.
Amen.
You're a light. Yeah. I know it sounds crazy, I know this, but it's probably because you like this. I don't know. But I see you as a lightsaber. I can just see you walking around like a light.
There you go.
And you got to be careful what you say. Mm-hmm. You got to be careful how you say it. Because the word sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. You ever, you know those, that Star Wars things, you know, where they do that stuff? Mm-hmm. Somebody got a regular sword, somebody's got a lightsaber. You're done, man. You're done. Because it just goes right through it. Because it's light. God is light. Mm-hmm. That's what he is in you. That's what you are in him. I see you as light walking around. You're the light where you are. You're the strength where you are. You're the help where you are. And God, if you put the word of the Lord in your mouth, it give you the tongue of the learned, and you can speak it, and you can declare it, and you can walk with it.
Hallelujah.
And in the meantime, you just enjoy that fellowship. When you open up the word of God, the Spirit of God's going to come like oil. I'm telling you, Matt, you're going to feel it.
Amen.
I can see it. Yeah. I can feel it.
Yeah.
It's going to come. Oil's going to come, and you're going to feel it running down.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel it all over you.
Yes.
It's a good thing, man. It's a healing balm of Gilead. It heals the soul.
Hallelujah.
It brings the word of the Lord for your family. It brings the word of the Lord. It brings the word of the Lord. It brings encouragement. It brings strength. It brings help.
Hallelujah.
And you be that light.
Thank you,
Michael. You be that hope. You be that peace and that joy that God's put in your life. It's called the kingdom of God. It's preaching the kingdom of the gospel. And that's what God wants. Lord, I pray for this people. I pray for this people.
Yeah.
Every one of them, Lord, let your hand be upon them.
Yes, God.
Let your hand be upon them,
yeah.
God.
Thank
you. Lord, from the head down to the feet. Lord, I pray for blessing.
Yes, God.
I pray for encouragement. I pray for anointing. Lord, destroy the yokes in our life by bringing the feast of fat things upon this mountain. Let the feast of fat things be upon this mountain. Break all false covenants and all false things off from our minds and our thoughts. The things that cause us to compromise. The things that cause us to doubt. The things that cause us to turn, Lord, in the wrong way. Lord, I pray, let us hear the voice behind us saying, this is the way you walk you in it. And I say that this group would not say, oh, we're just a small group. We're just a young group. Lord, no. We say, we're for you. And you're for us.
Thank you.
You're with us, and
yes.
You stand.
Thank you.
And we'll believe you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
That's my encouragement.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Bless
you,
God.
Oh,
thank
God.
You.
Yeah, just two.
Either one.
I'll get the phone.
I'm leaving.
Be
blessed.
God bless, Bruce. Thank you.
Thank you
for the blessing, Bruce.
Be safe. We'll see you again.
Yeah, just
okay.
Move it into the car.
Bless you, Mike.
All right, God bless, folks.
Thank you.
Yeah, just pull him in the loop there, Dallas, because he just said if a fire truck came through, he couldn't get through. So.
Where's his car?
Oh, it just. No, it was either moving his or Barbara's,
sure.
And it's a smaller car, it's easier to move. I just told him to pull because he can pull around the loop. So we're good.
We're good.
Is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no, everybody else is all right. Nobody has to do anything.
No.
Is that Bruce's stuff?
Oh, is it? You might want to catch him. Yeah, did not know that.
Hallelujah.
Let's just wait a minute. I want Dallas to get back in. I was appreciative of Brother Bruce coming. Surprised me, that's for darn sure.
Did he get recorded?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking that as he was going through. I'm like, I wonder if Armand put the phone up on the pulpit. And he did, and that's all right.
Armand,
yes.
He went to church.
Yes,
church.
It's
yeah.
A good thing.
In
it's
church.
A good thing. And that's a miracle in itself. An iPhone that has a signal.
Okay.
Oh, he hasn't moved it yet?
Just pull out.
Oh, right. Okay, got it. All right, today the title is, I wrote this down, Rest for the Weary and Strength for the Weak. The reality is that as a believer, you will have some times where you're weary and weak, and I want you to look at something. We're going to look at the Word of God, and one of the things that I see a lot is I see fatigue in believers. I see battle fatigue. I see situational fatigue. And there is kind of a good slant to this because Bruce came and surprised me this morning, guys. to where he, you know, he came in and he gave a prophetic word, and I wanted him, he wasn't going to preach today, and I will try to keep my remarks shorter than normal, but there was a strength to that, and God will send people in your life, and they'll speak.
Amen.
There are many ways that God gets rid of your weariness, but I want to tell you something, and I've lived this because of physical stuff and maladies that I've dealt with. I know about fatigue really well. I know about, you know, your body is wore out, you're just cashed. There's spiritual fatigue, physical fatigue, there's battle fatigue. You can be in a season where stuff is coming against you left and right, and you get fatigued. Israel got fatigued in the wilderness, they did. Israel was rebellious, but they also got fatigued. And the early church, can you imagine what was going on with the saints? And I'm here to tell you that the Lord, by His Spirit, can empower you, can bring you divine life. And you can, I used to use the term of defying gravity. You can defy gravity sometimes. Now the reason I say that, because if you have a sickness you deal with where it absolutely, like some, you're dealing with something and it hits you in a particular way. And I remember one time the doctor telling me, he said, normally people dealing with you you're dealing with are on, he said, disability, and they have a hard time staying awake. He said a lot of times fatigue is one of the symptoms of dealing with MS or something like it. He said fatigue gets really bad. It's debilitating, actually. Now, I didn't tell him I have a good workout regime or that I found an exercise tape that helped a lot. But I realized how many times the Lord was carrying me and still continues to carry me. I realized how many times that I was weary, but God rose me above the weariness. But I got to be honest with you. Ask yourself a question. How many times do you ask the Lord, I'm wore out, I'm fatigued? And it affects your walk. It does. It affects the things you can and can't do. How many times do you get weary in doing good? This is another kind of weary. So I pray that we can look at some scripture today that God can give life to your mortal bodies. But I want to read in Isaiah. Go with me to Isaiah 40, verses 25 through 31. And many will know the end part of this verse. We've all quoted it. But God wants to give rest to your spirit. And then He wants to also give energy to your spirit. And if you're fatigued, it is not so much of, I want to teach you to turn a corner and think positive. And I think you need to think positive and that you need to think in faith. But we settle sometimes where we just go, wow, this is it. And I'm feeling this and this is going on and I'm weary and I cannot survive and I don't know what to do and I'm this and that. And then as we deal with this, the Spirit of the Lord comes into us and He changes the energy. I've needed a lot of energy, guys, but I want you to have energy too. And I've needed a lot through the years. And how many times, and here's another thing, situational fatigue. Something is the same today, and it will be the same tomorrow. And you are dealing with something, and it has a tendency to wear you out. But not only does it wear you out, it wears out, it tries to wear out your hope. It tries to wear out your faith. It tries to wear out your patience. It tries to fatigue you in all kinds of areas. God always has a strength that He wants to pour into you. And I think we need to know and we need to say, you know what? God's going to have me defy gravity. And we need to believe it. And we need to say, God, you are not going to let me faint by the wayside, but you are going to renew my strength. 40 verses 25 in Isaiah says, to whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired Though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. You know, you can just mark this. I'm going to just read it. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life." The word is Zoe. To your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So we as believers are an odd mix. We don't just live on our physicality. We don't just live on our diet. We don't just live on, well, I got this, I'm dealing with this, therefore I'm going to always feel like this. But we are a mixture. We have this mortal shell with an eternal spirit, but then the real kicker is the Spirit of God. It dwells upon us, it dwells within us, and it brings life. The word for life is Zoe, and it really speaks of divine life. Now, when we read out to Israel that when we wait upon the Lord, we will gain new strength, I will say this many times, when I need the kind of strength, and what kind of strength do you need when you're dealing with the issues of God? You need the strength of God. Raw energy is not what it takes to do the work of God. A good attitude is great. I pray you have one. But again, just simply saying, well, I feel good today. I can do this. There's many times where I physically was fit and didn't have any energy problem. But I needed the strength of God to do what it is God had asked of me. Whether the Lord was having you to drive to some house, whether the Lord was having you to speak into someone, whether the Lord was having you to contend for truth, it doesn't matter. Doing God's business in so many ways, we check our physical because it is hard, isn't it? If your body's kind of trying to deceive you and say, you can't do this or you can't do that, we check like, you know, we have a cup of coffee, we do all the normal routines. I do myself. But the one thing, even getting up and preaching all the time and doing it for a number of years, I don't kid myself. Let me tell you something. Starbucks does not make a blend that will help me preach. I don't care what they put in it. I don't care what natural advantage you may think you have, but to do the things of God requires a different exertion from a different power, a different energy. Now, we go to work, don't we? And we go to work and we learn a job and we have an energy and we do our job and we learn whatever the steps are in our job. It doesn't matter how complex or how simplistic your job is. You learn your job and then you go to it. And then that's one gear. And that, you know, a lot of times we do drink a cup of coffee and we don't want to fall asleep at our desk. We don't want to fall asleep holding a power tool in our hands. And, you know, so there's a lot of natural stuff. But it's interesting because there is another strength that comes from the Lord that exerts, especially when we're doing the things for God. Now, I don't believe in the term secular work. My pastor hated the term secular work because it kind of like saying, you know, there's a time when God doesn't need me and when God's really not using me, and there's a time where it's not about God, but everything is. And even as our brother said this morning, everything is there's a test always going on. But sometimes we got to think of the exertion it's going to take. Sometimes we cover ourselves in prayer and we go out to do something, and I think that's great. That there's a Zoe life that the Lord needs to bring a quickening to our spirit and a quickening to our soul. We need to have the strength of the Lord. And then the issue too is, I don't think we charge up a lot. I think people get weary. If the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, He'll give life to my mortal body. And it's the word is Zoe there for life. And it's divine life, okay? But the indication of this scripture, a lot of people take it like, I'm going to walk in Zoe power 24/7. But I want to put this in a bit of a different perspective to you. There are times where I'm needing a real dose of Zoe power more than other times. There are times when I have a divine task, and it's at this point that you come to this promise and say, the Spirit of God, because I'm a believer, is in me and around me, and you will get an exertion. How many times that we go to do something for Jesus, and this is a kick of life. You can sense it. You can feel it. It's not coffee, it's not energy drinks, it's not any of that. You can just sense it. And God all of a sudden will empower you, and He gives life to your mortal bodies. I think this stuff happens in sections, I really do. I think that there's an exertion of divine power and divine life that comes into us for various things and things we have to do. And it's at this point we have to be looking for it. But I will say this. When we get weary too, we study the natural. We try to get more sleep. We try to do some things. Nothing is wrong with being physically sound. But many times we rely on the flesh. We really do. Sometimes your spirit is weary and you're going to go to bed because you're tired. And I get that. There's nothing wrong with going to bed. But the thing is, your spirit needs replenishing, not just your body. Sometimes we exercise that very little and we do a bunch of physical things that are supposed to give us rest, and we may wake up and physically we may feel better, but if our spirit's weary, just taking that nap doesn't do a darn thing for it. And I'm saying this because it's critical, because we all live in a physical body. We all have schedules. We all do things. But even with Israel, I love the promise that's being given there. I love in Romans, it's the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. It dwells in me. All right? And I want you to look to chapter 40. It says, lift up your eyes high and see who created these stars. You know, when it comes to getting renewed energy, when we got to get rid of the weariness, you know, we need the very life of God. But I will say this, and God says to Israel, look up. There is a power when you look up and you really see. There's a difference of seeing and seeing. And let me explain something. People look up in a non-connected way, and they look up into the heavens and they cry out, God, help me. But when we really look up and we, in our spirit, we see God, we see who He is, that experience truly affects us even physically. God gives a second sight. I tell the story about my one friend that had that vision and that glimpse, and he was hyperventilating. And he looked up many times and cried out to God, and then God made a connection with him. And he had a very rare experience, but just looking up, see, God says, you know, to whom will you liken me? Think about this for a minute. But another thing is, too, I don't know about you, so I'm not going to accuse you this morning. But as a human being, one thing that was fought me a lot is I love my own strength. I love my own know-how. I love my own energy. I love the way I think about things. I feel I can get it done in of myself. And there's a lot of pride in us that we don't even realize. We are very self-sufficient. And my problem is, I'm glad you're independent and can go to work and pull your pants on by yourself. But there's something that really blocks us because we do love our own strength. That is why when you would teach about, you know, I could sit up here and I could tell you, you know, we need to be renewed by the Spirit of God and He wants to give your faint heart new energy and new life. And you might listen, I could go into big church, but if I got up and said, I have a special vitamin here in a bottle and this stuff will really pick you up, I guarantee you the attention span would get a lot, it would get better because I was offering a physical aid. A lot of times we confess these things that we believe they're needed, but like I said, we need to see them. To whom then will you liken me, that I would be His equal? We need to see God in His supremacy and majesty. It's going to lift you up. And somebody goes, well, how do I know when I'm seeing Him to where it really lifts me up? I said, well, you answered the question within the question. You will know when you start to see Him because it will actually, it's like a feeding trough. Mm-hmm. When you break through the garbage, when you break through the noise and you get a focus and that opens up. That word today about an open heaven and you start communing with the Lord, it does something to your energy. It does something to your attitude. That's why the Lord says, whom are you going to liken me? Because a lot of times, like I said, who can be God's equal? Nobody. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created the stars. The one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one of them is missing. We know the spiritual truths, when we see them to a greater degree, they affect us in the here and the now. It is not rocket science. But sometimes we have to look hard. Sometimes we have to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we have to break through. You can approach God and speak to God and walk away, but I want to approach God and speak to God, and I want that open heaven, and I want some reciprocity. He wants to touch you. But obviously there's going to be a dependency upon His strength. There's going to be a dependency and you're going to see Him as supreme. And here's another issue too. Why is lordship important when you're talking about seeing God? Well, because He's the King. The Lord is the King. The Lord is the Creator. The Lord is the ultimate authority in the universe. So, you know, I would say this. It's really critical to look up. But even to look up, I realize that I am but a man saved by grace. And I look up and God starts to give me a vision, not a pep talk. You know, a lot of times I would see evangelists come through churches and they you know, stir them up into a frenzy. You know what I mean? And people be shouting. And, the evangelist would leave, and a week later, the people were as dead as they were the day before the evangelist came. But part of the problem is that we can stir you up emotionally a bit. We become very good in we can communicate, the art of communication. There's many things we can do. There's many emotional chords we can strike in people. And good speakers will even be better at doing that than other speakers. But the bigger problem is I'm not going to get you strength. But if I can point up and you can connect with God, you're going to get a strength when you're weary and when you're tired. Here's the thing. God's never designed you to wear out. And what I mean by that is, God's never called us to get tired and weary in our vision and give up and just lose strength and just lay down and die. That's just not the Lord. God's never phasing out an area of your walk or ministry or something he's given you that you're praying about to where you become despondent, lethargic, and just cease to move. It's never going to be the Lord. The Lord doesn't work through fatigue and tiredness. He may say, all right, I want you to do this. You were doing this. Do this now. But he doesn't wear you out. Here's another thing. In the things we wish to do for God, are we doing them in our strength or the Lord's strength? I can have a call from God, and I've had this plenty of times, and many of us, we've probably all dealt with this, to where I had a call from God. There was an area he was showing me. But even after he showed me, I lunged out in my own strength. I lunged out in my own logic. I tried to make it happen a certain way. I tried to strategize it. And many times it falls on its face. And even then, we end up more tired. I used to tell young ministers, if you're getting weary, I'd see young ministers and they were all weighed down and tired. And I'm just thinking, if God's really called you to that, then you need to draw from his strength because you're doing this in your own strength and you're tired for a reason. You don't have that kind of energy to keep that going. Only the Spirit of God has that kind of energy to give you. Now, many times we are doing things in our life that God has called us to. It doesn't mean that we don't get weary. And it's interesting because even as God says to Israel, hey, look up, see my supremacy. And quit trusting your own strength. Quit trusting your own techniques. Quit doing your best to help God and let God give his best to help you. This is really critical. But like I said, we like our own strength and we like our own pride. We really do. We like to control. We like to do it in our own esteem. I know this. There is none God's equal, including me. And when we trust our own strength more than the Lord, we will, and many times, I want to say this, you might not believe this, but when I'm weary and I trust my own strength, like I'm going to do this, I'm going to strive to do this, I in a way am saying I'm equal to God because I can do it as good as you can do it. I'm not saying we say that, but there's an inference. It's almost like making a statement without making a statement. I could trust you, God, and ask for your strength and your power to do this, but I think I could pull this off. And we do it a lot. The weirdest thing is, and you guys know this, we never say these things out loud. We never preach these things out loud. I don't tell the Lord I trust myself more than him. Even though when it comes to his way of doing something, I'll do it my way to try to achieve a similar result. We don't have to say it. We just do it. We don't say many lies, but we live them. And we don't always make a statement as to the effect. But I've seen people lean on their own power and their own logic. I seen a minister once and he was talking to me and he had this, you know, mega church, and not knocking mega church, but he said, you know, my leaders are great leaders, he said, and they've all got to come up with 5 ministries a week. And it kind of stunned me because I thought, is the Holy Spirit creating 5 ministries a week? And he put this, you know, all his bigger church, they had paid people, they're running around looking like they've just lost their best friend. And they're contriving and thinking of things to do for Jesus, of course. And they have this buzz of activity. It lasted about 3 months, and then he started firing leaders. But here's the interesting thing. I don't want to hear about, I got my leaders doing 5 ministries, creating 5 ministries a week. And quite frankly, if you have 5 leaders, well, that would be 25 ministries per week. So how many ministries would you have after a month? 150 to do what? Again, back to our own strength. In fact, many times if the church lacks, it makes more noise and it gets active. We got to do something. No, we don't got to do something. You know, it's funny. Jesus said, I can only see what I see the Father doing. Part of also recovering from weariness and faintness, we have to nail down what does God have me to do, not what do I think and what would God have me do, and what is the goals God has given to me. Please, Lord, show me these things because, again, we want to do what we see the Father doing, and we want to get that reoccurring energy. Verse 28, do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Here's another secret. The strength that we live by as Christians, and when we are weary and we ask God to restore us, there's something interesting. The very life that we're going to get and it's going to come into our being is the very life of God. It's a miracle in of itself. The power of God, even the Holy Spirit, if you look at the language, it infers that its very existence is miraculous. So God does not get weary. He does not get tired. And we start to tap into the Father. Maybe we start to gain and be renewed in our strength. You know, God will exchange his power for your weakness. He will lift you up. And sometimes there are times we need the strength of God. And we need to say, you know what, Lord, maybe I'm carrying this. Think about all the things. Do you not need a strength to carry a prayer burden? You do. Do you not need a strength to get the things God has asked you to do to get done? Is there a conscious thought in your mind when you're heading to anything saying, Lord, I cannot do this without you. If you don't help me, I won't get it done. One of the most beautiful things that I got a hold of, and I had some esteem issues, I think many human beings deal with esteem issues, is preaching is to me a very difficult thing. It's very difficult, not just to find subjects, in fact, but just that ability to do it, because you get up in the pulpit in so many different physical forms. I mean, in ways, I mean, you're tired, you're good, things are bad. I mean, you get up in conflict, you get up with all this, threats. And the one thing that I started nailing down when I was younger, Father, there's no way I could do this week after week, even two times a week, and be fresh at all. There's just no way. It's not doable. And it's interesting, there are areas in your life, maybe you've kept them moving, even by your own energy, and God wants to give his strength. There are times where you feel like, I cannot, you know, I'm so tired, God, I'm so weary, God. I don't feel like I can go on. To us, that's a death sentence, but to God, that's like music to his ears. It's like, excellent, now you're ready for my life. You've been walking in your own steam, now you're ready for my life. Because we do get exhausted. But we also, and I want you to think about something as we're almost done here today. You're needing God's strength and powers to do so many things, and so many things can change. You know, I've seen people say, well, I need the Spirit when I'm at church. And I've seen people say, I need the Spirit when I'm preaching. But I need the Spirit of the Lord to bring life and energy to me all the time. The more you know that you need, I believe the greater you are ready to receive what God wishes to give. The more you know that you need, I'll say it again, I believe that you are ready. It makes you more ready to truly receive from God's, because we let go of the control. We love to control. We love to have things in our grasp. Mm-hmm. We really do. We love to say, I've got this in my grasp and I'm going to control this. And I did this for years. As a Christian, I did this as a minister. We try to control things. I want to control this. I want to control this. Even when it was obvious only God's strength could do it, only God's control could control it. Finally, this verse, though youth grow weary and tired and vigorous men stumble badly, he gives the example of the time in life, all right, where energy is at its best, vigor is at its best. Youth is at its best. But it's interesting when the Lord says, you know, youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous men stumble badly, meaning even in the best human format, energy runs out. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Now, this is interesting, okay? We're going to gain new strength. We wait on the Lord. But again, let's not confuse something. There are times where I needed to come before the Lord again and again and again, because I needed to wait on the Lord until he gave me that, till the strength was given. Most people say, I do that, but what they're really saying is, I'm weary and my spirit is exhausted, so I'll go and I'll say a few words to the Lord and then I'll run out. There's a difference. He didn't say those who come to me, you know, boom, and it's all good. He said those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. There are so many times where the schedule must go on, this must go on, and it's like God saying, you know, if you would wait on me, wait on me. I'll give you the strength to do that, but you just come and you say a quick prayer and ask me to bless it. You don't wait on me. And you don't get a renewal of the strength. You run out anyway and you're fatigued. And many times, even we people of God are going from tired to more tired to real tired to fatigued to completely knocked out. And we've prayed between all the steps we do these things, but our spirits have not been renewed the right way, and we're needing them to be renewed. Waiting on the Lord is not an art form. It's just a necessity. But we don't think of it this way. And I want to say this, the busy life, the busy American, we are busy. And now we're not only busy with what we have to do, but we're busy with things keeping our attention all the time that aren't even needed. So we're busy coming and going, we're busy in our schedules, our minds are busy because of social media, it never turns off. And the sad thing is that that pause there to get the strength of the Lord to come, that pause there that is needed. The pause that is needed sometimes. God, you know, I've seen people even cry out, you know, I asked the Lord for this, and I asked Him for this. They never waited on the Lord. They kept coming up, shooting a request, and running away. Mm-hmm. They kept speaking at God instead of speaking with God. And many times they were exhausted when they started. They're even more exhausted later on. And I think about that, and I think God wants to empower every one of us and has duties for us to do. And even some of the visions He's given you and the hope and the promise, sometimes the promises, the enemy tries to wear you out. He tries to come to you, convince you to lose hope. He tries to come to you to convince you to give up inside. You know what's interesting? Boy, is it not true that we give up on things way before we start doing them? You better believe it. We quit emotionally way before we quit physically. Mm-hmm. We cop out many times far before we left. Because we could still physically sit somewhere or do this or do that or say, yeah, I'm interested in this. But our heart disengages and we get weary and we don't get strengthened again. Mm-hmm. We wait on the Lord and He promises something. Mount up with wings of eagles. I don't know if you understand this. There's two steps here. There's the life that God wants to bring back into you when you're fatigued. But secondarily, He wants to give you eagle vision. And what I mean is eagles fly real high. And they see you really well. So two things begin to happen. God begins to energize you. Puts that Zoe life. But even as He puts that Zoe life, He elevates your vision. You get above things. You don't get caught in the trap and in the mess. And He rises you above the situation. You can look down at it and go, I'm seeing this better from the aerial view. I have an eagle. Mount up with wings of eagles. He gives the ability to fly up and to rise. It's actually like an escape. I mean, if you think about natural predators, if an eagle can get off the ground and gain footage, nothing but another bird could possibly come against him. But an eagle, in at least in this country, they're top of the pecking order. Their wingspan can be 6 feet apart. Once they get elevated, you ain't getting them. And I'm not talking about a gun or something else, but in the natural, when you can fly, you know what I mean, at 500 feet, you have very, very few predators after you. God gives you the strength. God rises you up and He gives you the strength and He gives you an eagle eye. Not to mention, it's almost like implying with the wings of the eagles is getting the eyes of God. God is above all things and sees into all things clearly. It's not confusing. God wants to give you both strength. He wants you to mount up with wings as eagles. All right. And then He says they will run and not get tired. I ran. I was an avid runner, both in the police academy. I ran in high school. And men, we run away from things really good. But I was actually ran 5 miles a morning, 10 miles. In the police academy, it was 5 miles and it was 7 miles a morning. Now, that's not a lot. There are runners that do a lot more than that. But for us, this is what was required. To run and not get tired is an amazing thing. Because I've got to tell you something. Your body learns how to run miles. Mine did. But I got to tell you something. When I was in high school, we had a guy, I forgot from which country. It was ridiculous. We did a 5 mile sprint. Young guys were just gasping, falling on the ground. And I'd always see this one guy, and he'd just be stretching at the end. He wasn't panting. And it really, for some guys, it was hard to watch him because he didn't seem human, you know. I want to tell you something. That's an excellent vision that we can do this thing. That He will let you walk. You will run and not get tired. And this promise, it defies the natural. It really does. We need to claim and declare sometimes and say, Lord, you want to give me energy? Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I'm weary. I've heard the statement. So when I worked in mental health, I had a resident who used to always say, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. He just said it all the time. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. There has to be an answer to I'm so tired. Many times when I go, I'm just so tired. How about this one? I'm tired of this. We do this all the time. I've done it. Well, maybe you don't, but I know I've done it. I've said I'm tired of things. But it's interesting. Sometimes when we do that, what we're really doing with our mouth, we're just walking in our own strength. God's not weary, nor does he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So if his energy is coming in you, you're talking about burnout. That's just not really what God's going to feed into you. But people do it. But again, we do it on our own. Like I said, as we close today, God promises to give you rest for your weariness. He promises to give you new energy. He promises to mount you up with wings as eagles. You can run. You will not get tired. That defies the natural. I got to be honest with you. That defies the natural. Run a whole lot of miles and you will be tired. And even after you run a lot, I remember doing 10 miles. I still got tired. Yeah, I was in better shape. I guarantee you right now, you put me a quarter mile and send the EMT and bring the paddles with, because I probably will need them. But I want to say this to you today. God wants to give you renewed energy and he wants to renew your weariness. And let's all rise and pray. He's promised to do that. Those who wait upon the Lord, is that some fairy tale or is it a promise? It's a promise. Can you lean on that today? I would pray you do. Lord, as we go today, we get tired, we get weary. As we go today, we know that you, if we wait on you, will renew our strength. Lord, there are many things we're going to do, and I love some of the words that came about children and praying for them and a lot of good stuff there. But even I think about the words that were spoken. In the words that were spoken, it really correlates really well, because those promises, you hang on to them. What does it take to hang on? Well, it takes strength. It takes renewed energy. It takes, Zoe life going into our being. Lord, one of the things too is hanging on to the promises you give us. Sometimes that is the greatest weightlifting thing I've ever seen. Sometimes waiting on the promise, you gave us a promise, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Lord, we are in our human self, we tire, we grow weary, we walk away from stuff that we shouldn't. We give up on promises just because some time has gone by and we didn't see it. We want to renew all of our strength, Lord, all the time. We want to come to you all the time and say, I'm weary, I'm tired. Because you want to give us strength. You want to put Zoe life into us. There's an ability that we could run and not get weary and not get tired. Help us to begin to not only believe this, but when we see the need, Lord, as we're going to do something for you too, we want to agree in prayer before we go do anything. But we also, especially sometimes, Lord, we know our spirit is fatigued and we need to wait on you before we proceed with the task. Lord, this is not about putting something off indefinitely. In fact, just the opposite. It's about getting stuff done in the life and the strength which God supplies. And I'm praying this morning as we would go from here. It's interesting, Lord, because, I get a dear friend of mine, man of God, comes in and speaks some words that I believe were real energizing and spoke some prophetic stuff that was definitely accurate on the money. And it was good to see. It was powerful. Father, I pray even now, thank you that you send those words and those prophetic words. Lord, we've heard our brother here. Matt's talked about going out you tell him to go here, you tell him to go there. And I just thought it's really the same thing I saw this morning. I've got a friend that I didn't know was in town, and you speak to him and he comes here. He wanted to pray for us. You spoke to him to do a particular thing, and he did it.
Thank you.
So we see this both in the little and the big, whether it's 10 miles, whether it's pulling off on a street, or whether it's 285 miles. But you get it done, Lord. I pray today that there's an encouragement to every soul in the sanctuary. Lord, one thing that he had brought up was that, everybody here, God's called this, God's going to do this, and I like that. Your promises to all of us, God.
Thank you.
To all of us. Thank you, Father. Even as we dismiss today, we will wait on you that we might renew our strength. And we're believing you for eagle's wings. You didn't say actual wings, but mount up like. You said that we would mount up like with it wings. And there's wings to give us too when we need the eagle eye. So I pray as we dismiss today, you would be upon us, Lord. We're grateful for all that you do right now. We're grateful for everything that you're doing this morning. Be upon us this morning. Work upon us this morning. Bring the answer, Lord. People here that have prayed and said, Lord, they've cried out to you, strengthen them today. Those who are burdened for loved ones, strengthen them. Strengthen them, that we might not faint. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.